Okay, so welcome to Creating Your Character. So I get the opportunity to introduce our current speakers. So we have Emily DeAndre. Sorry, I knew I was going to get that wrong. And I am so excited because she's a storytelling PM at Microsoft. So I had a chance to look at her slides before we actually were presenting today. And wow, packed with great content. You forget about how important it is to storytell your brand. You could have 20 years of experience, 5 years of experience, but if you can't storytell your personal brand, it really doesn't have the impact you want. So I'm really excited to hear more about that. And then the other is from Jean Raymond, and she is with Ubisoft, and she's a director of sales, digital sales at Ubisoft, and networking with confidence. I mean, I think we all understand how to network, but being able to do it with confidence and being authentic is so important. So Jean is going to be able to share some of her tips and tricks, so thank you so much. And what will happen is Emily will kick us off, and then Jean will talk to us about networking. So thank you very much.
Can I use your mic? Thank you, Angela. Hello. How's everybody doing? I like that woo for Jean. I want to hear another woo. Okay, thank you. I get energy from you guys, and I'm a little nervous. I'm going to be really honest. So I appreciate that. So if you do want to like woo or say yay or even groan throughout, I encourage that. I'm good with that. Yeah, I like it. All right, so my name is Emily DeAndre. I work in talent acquisition at Microsoft. So, whoops. As you can see, my title is Storytelling Program Manager. My session is Storytelling for Personal Branding. So it probably won't surprise you that I'm going to kick it off today with a story. And I'm going to give you a little bit of background about myself. So it was about 5 years ago that I made a career decision that would change my life. I was working as a marketing director for Whole Foods. I had a great team. I drove my own projects, great benefits. I was happy. I was not looking for a change. But a change found me nonetheless. Somehow my resume ended up on the desk of an Xbox recruiter, and he called me up and he said, "I'm looking for someone to manage the online Xbox jobs talent acquisition strategies, social media basically, and was I interested?" Okay, that's kind of interesting. I had never worked in talent acquisition. Social media, yeah, I mean, I dabbled in it, but I definitely wasn't an expert. I was not a gamer, unless you count my sixth grade Super Mario days, which you might, because I was actually awesome. And I definitely didn't have anything remotely resembling a career in technology. Oh, and did I mention it was only 20 hours a week, it was a vendor role, and it did not offer any benefits? So I thought about it for a minute and a half, and I took it. What the hell was I thinking? You are probably wondering to yourself right now, as my family and friends did at the time. How was I going to take this job, seemingly totally unrelated to my skill set, and turn it into something that would even remotely consider a great career move? Okay, well, what I was thinking was this. Even though I had never been a recruiter, I had worked in sales and marketing. A lot of the same principles apply, right? I wouldn't be selling a product, but I would be selling a culture, a lifestyle, an opportunity. Sure, I could do that. I could probably do it over social media too. I was thinking that although I wasn't a gamer, maybe that didn't really matter. I wouldn't be selling Xbox games. I would be selling the Xbox culture, the lifestyle. Maybe the gaming piece could come later after I bought an Xbox, or maybe two. And I was thinking, even though I hadn't taken math since I was a junior in high school, even though I suspected it took an engineering degree to put together a Lego set for four-year-olds, this was still my chance to get my foot in the door in the world of tech. This was still my opportunity, right? And I knew that even though I didn't have all of these things over here, I did have all of these things over here. I knew that I had something of value to bring to the table. And so I went for it. Now, did I make mistakes? Yes, that is definitely something I did, but that is a completely different session. We'll talk about it another time. Did I fail? I did. But if you were in the last session, you know that failures actually help us grow and make us better. Did I feel like a fish out of water a lot of the time? I totally, totally did. But it was still the best career decision I ever made. Because here we are now, 5 years later. It turns out that being the only marketer in a recruiting world actually gives me a really unique and different perspective. It turns out that my diversity of thought and opinions makes me somebody that people want to work with. I start getting invited to work on projects across different businesses and orgs, including presenting on storytelling and personal branding to Microsoft employees, and now to you. So with that, let's kick it off. So, chances are storytelling has been part of your life since you were a small kid. How many of us can remember stories that our parents or our grandparents told us? Stories that were so inspiring that they made us want to work harder and deserve to be part of that story. Or think about maybe a book that you read when you were in high school. A book that touched you so deeply that it subsequently impacted the way that you saw and interacted with the world. Or what about the first time you saw Lord of the Rings or Wonder Woman? Those are awesome examples of storytelling that make us want to be part of those stories, and they inspire us to want to be heroes too. So storytelling is a word that we hear a lot these days, right? It's kind of a buzzword, and I think that's because it can be used in so many different contexts. Stories are what make people care. They help us synthesize information in a way that makes it and us relatable. So just as a company might use storytelling to, say, connect with an audience or to sell a product, we can use it to build emotional connections with others. So when we talk about storytelling for personal branding, we are talking about the way that we weave together our passions, our purpose, our goals, our accomplishments, our skill sets into a personal narrative that we can share with others. So whether you are interviewing for a job, or pitching a game, or presenting at a conference, or even just talking in a meeting or having an online or in-person discussion, storytelling actually does play a role. And remember, even regular performance reviews, they can be storytelling opportunities too. So I get it, you're all panicking right now, right? Because you're like, where do I even start? I don't know how to build my personal brand. Storytelling is not something that comes naturally to me. And I think we have this knee-jerk reaction too of saying, like, I'm not a writer, I can't be a storyteller. But I have a secret to share with you today. You are already a storyteller. You are already using storytelling on an everyday basis to connect with others, to build relationships, to have authentic interactions. The only difference is, in storytelling for personal branding, you are always the hero. You are the one that's taking the risks. You are the one that's picking up the sword and slaying the dragon and saving the day. Yes, and making mistakes along the way. Because as we learned, the most valuable stories are the ones that have imperfections and mistakes. All right, but first things first, we got to start with your motivator. Every hero has a motivator, something underneath the surface that's driving them, right? That's pushing them forward. So as you're beginning to develop your brand, we need to tap into that. What is your passion and what is your purpose? Then you are able to connect that to the stories that you tell. So think to yourself, what gets you out of bed in the morning, aside from maybe a great cup of coffee? Why do you do the things that you do? So I get it though, it's all well and good to say, tell me about your passions, what motivates you? That can sometimes be hard, at least it can be hard for me. So I recommend, as you are developing your personal brand, approach it just like you would any other project. So first of all, find your creative space. You know what I mean by creative space, right? Like the place where you get your best ideas, where the creative juices are flowing. So it might be like going for a walk or a run. For me, it's a run. It might be gaming or listening or playing music, maybe, you know, collaborating with a friend, maybe even meditation. Whatever it is, dial into that and go to that place and really start to peel back the onion on what it is that gets you up in the morning and what it is that keeps you up at night. All right, but your brand is about more than just your passion. when we think about personal branding, we also need to think about the emotional traits that are associated with us as people. So when I say emotional traits, I don't mean that you're constantly telling me, oh my gosh, I love my job so much. That's not it, right? I'm talking about the non-technical skills that make you uniquely you. I think sometimes we have the tendency to think that our brands exist only online, that it's somehow a combination of tweets and LinkedIn posts and articles that make us who we are. But what am I missing? The human element, right? Our interactions with others. So this is Maya Angelou, and I think she really said it best. We can tell each other over and over and over what we're passionate about, but it's really how we show up and how we show that passion in our interactions with others. That's what they're going to remember at the end of the day. So I really want to encourage you to be mindful as you're thinking about what are these emotional traits that are associated with your brand. Think about how folks are remembering you right now. Are they thinking of you as empathetic, compassionate? Are you an accelerator? Are you a connector? Are you a strategic thinker? Are you systems thinker? Are you an introvert? Are you outgoing? You get where I'm going with it, right? These things that make you you. What are folks remembering you for? And even more important, what do you want to be remembered for? Okay, so we've got passions. We've got emotional intelligence. Now, the third piece of the trifecta when it comes to our personal brands, accomplishments. Okay, now I don't know about you, but I think naming off my accomplishments, it is pretty challenging. How many of us have been in a job interview and been asked, you know, what's your greatest accomplishment? And you just kind of sit there and you're like, well, no one? Okay, well, y'all are better than me. So I'll tell you what I do when I'm having those feelings. No, I think that there's a lot of reasons why we have trouble sometimes saying what our accomplishments are. You know, we might feel like we're being braggy, right? It's hard sometimes to talk about ourselves. It might make us feel uncomfortable. Or worst case scenario, we start to play the role of the villain inside our own heads. And she's inside our heads telling us, maybe we haven't really accomplished all that much. Maybe like we're not that great. Maybe we're imposters. Now, can anyone relate to that? Yeah, same here. So I am here to tell you today that we have got to slay that villain once and for all, right? She does not have a role in our stories anymore. So here's what I do when she's starting to crop up in my head. I go for a run, because that's my creative space. And I listen to Madonna. So Madonna does not miss any opportunity to tell us exactly who she is and what she's done. I am a bad bitch, she says over and over unapologetically, right? So when I listen to Madonna, I remember I'm a bad bitch too. Now look, it doesn't have to be Madonna, right? If she's not the person that speaks to you, just channel whoever it is that inspires you to remember that you are fierce, that inspires you to remember to always be unapologetically you. Okay, so you're back from your run. Now it's time to get tactical. You need to keep track of your accomplishments. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to start a OneNote or get a new notebook and start writing down each and every accomplishment. Now here's the thing. Accomplishments, they don't always take the form of a shipped game or a promotion or a pay raise. They can come up in other ways. So I want you to write down any time you've had an impact. Did you make a process more efficient? Did you create a bridge where there wasn't one before? Did your work collaborating with somebody else help them reach a new state of impact? Write down all of that, even kudos emails. Kudos emails that you receive from colleagues or partners. Save those, add them to your accomplishments. I actually have a file in my Outlook titled Wins. Anytime I get one of those kudos emails, it goes right into the Wins file, so I have it as backup, as storytelling ammunition. All right, next, you need to update regularly. You're keeping track of your accomplishments, but we need to be sure externally that folks know these accomplishments are part of your personal brands. So that means keeping your resume up to date, and it means optimizing your LinkedIn profile on the regular. It also means sharing out your accomplishments, using social media, and telling them to others. And finally, never stop learning. So just as accomplishments can come in other forms than promotions or shipped games, they can also be learning opportunities that we've created for ourselves. So think about ways that you can continue to build on your personal brand. So this might be certifications, or it might mean attending networking conferences or events like this. It might even mean something like reading or travel. All of these things help round out your personal brand, and they are growth opportunities for you as well. All right, so now that your brand is developed, you've got passions, accomplishments, EQ, now you need to build up your storytelling acumen so you're able to share these stories so you can pursue your goals, right? So we're gonna get tactical now, next slide. So here's steps for you to build your storytelling acumen. First, write them down. I know I keep telling you that, but now that you've written down your passions, accomplishments, traits, all of that, start writing down examples that showcase these things, things that you've done in your life and interactions that you've had. And I want you to remember that even stories which showcase struggle or failure, those are actually great stories because they can showcase a growth mindset or how you learned and moved on from that failure. Next, practice. So these are your stories, but it is still going to take time to make them feel authentic and make them concise and compelling. So as you're practicing, be sure that you're doing it in front of an audience, right? And be sure that you're listening to your audience. Are there any verbal or nonverbal cues that they're giving you? For example, if you are sharing a story and your audience is like staring off into space, I think you're losing them. Or if you have a line that you think is so funny and it never gets a laugh, it's not resonating. Or if this works for social media as well, if you're sharing stories on social and no one is ever engaging, you might want to rethink your strategy. And that's when you're going to refine. So based on those cues that you got from your audience, how can you tighten up your story? So when your audience is all staring off into space, maybe you just need to provide some more context around the story, more of that emotional connection to make people care. Or maybe you just need to make it more concise. Maybe you're just going on and on and on and it's not tight enough. That line that you think is so funny, maybe you're just not infusing enough of your awesomeness into the story that it's reading as inauthentic, or you might just have to let that line go. And finally, create consistency for impact. When we think about storytelling for personal branding, we want to be sure that both online and in person, our personal brands are showing up the same way. So this means if you tell me in your elevator pitch that you're a subject matter expert on a particular topic, I want to see that expertise showing up on your online profiles. Make sense? Okay. So speaking of the elevator pitch, what is worse than the dreaded question, tell me about yourself? You're at a cocktail party or an interview, and all of a sudden, you have to be exciting and charming and funny and intelligent all in 30 seconds. Well, I can think of one thing that might be worse, and that's breaking into small groups at a networking event and practicing our elevator pitches. But that's what we're going to do. I'm just kidding. I would never do that to you. I'm totally an introvert that like drives fear into my heart. Just kidding, we're not gonna do that. But really, but really, what's worse? What, are you guys all freaking out? I saw it for a second, like this terror. No, but really, what's worse than being asked that question and just like freezing, having no idea what to answer? Now, my colleague Jean is really gonna dig into the networking piece and bringing your story to life in real life. So I'm gonna give you a few tips to get you started around creating a great elevator pitch, okay? So first things first, be succinct. I keep saying it, right? Be concise and compelling. Be sure that you're getting out your story quickly, but make sure you leave them wanting more. Infuse enough of your awesomeness in that folks are inclined to ask more questions or want to engage with you further. And consider your audience, right? Just as you would pitch to, just the way you would pitch a game to different audiences, as we discussed in the last panel, this goes for your elevator pitch too. So your elevator pitch that you give to somebody at an interview is probably not going to be the same one that you give at a cocktail party, right? So I actually recommend having a few flavors. Start with a 15-second pitch. This should be two sentences, quickly sharing who you are and what you do. The second is 30 seconds. This one, you're going to add a little bit more of that passion, that uniqueness that is you. So that way folks are inclined to want to stick around and ask more questions. The third is a couple minutes. Now, you would save the third longer elevator pitch for after you've started having a conversation with someone. It's tailored to the specific person, right? You've already started to build an emotional relationship with this person. Then you kind of have stories that you pull out of your back pocket to continue engaging them and letting them see exactly who you are. All right, you are not a corporate drone. You are definitely not boring. Industry jargon is boring. Leave it out of your elevator pitch and instead infuse it with the awesomeness and the passions that you have with what gets you out of bed in the morning. And finally, I keep saying it, be unapologetically you. You are a badass. You're slaying dragons. You're taking risks. You know how awesome you are. Make sure the person that's listening knows how awesome you are too. Okay, so here's a couple quick examples of my 15-second elevator pitch. The first one, it's my title and where I work. This literally could be thousands of people on the planet. That's definitely not interesting. I don't think anyone would want to continue talking to me. The second piece, however, showcases like, you know, I do have a really cool job and there's a lot of things that I can share about it. So I can add some additional details and encourage other people to want to ask more questions and continue having a conversation with me. All right, so the final section here, bringing your story to life. Now that you've built your brand and you're ready to tell your stories, you've got to get them out there. And as I said, Jean is really going to be the one to talk about doing this in person at networking events, etc. But I am going to focus on social today. So the thing with storytelling, why it really works for personal branding is because you're not just talking at your audience, right? You're not just listing off things that you've done. Instead, you're using stories to build emotional connections with others. You are giving something of value. So this might be a life lesson, a memory, career advice, something that your audience can take away, right? This is about building real relationships through stories. So in social, you really do have a great opportunity to do so, even though this is all going to be digital. But there's three things you need to do in order to be ready to increase your social footprint and build your storytelling and social equity online. So these three things, optimize, build, and engage, they all go hand in hand together. You cannot have one without the other. So say, for example, you have a great profile, but there's no one in your network and you never share stories. Well, then no one's going to visit your profile. If you're sharing awesome stories and you have a big network, but your profile is just, it has nothing on it, well, that's not consistency for impact. You're not going to continue helping to build your personal brand, right? So think of these three things as one big happy family. They all go together. So first things first, optimize. So you need to be approachable. Use the same consistent photo across all of your social networks. I recommend one where you're smiling, looking happy and approachable. Be sure that you're cross-linking to your social networks as well. On LinkedIn, you do want to write in the first person. Consider it a relationship building network. It's not your resume, right? And on Twitter, don't protect your tweets. If no one can see your tweets, that's definitely not helping you build your personal brand. Next, be sure that you're findable. On LinkedIn, use a clear and concise headline. You definitely want to state clearly what you do. You don't want anyone to visit your profile and go, what the hell does she do for a living? I have no idea. That's not consistency for impact. On Twitter, you do want to, it's hard for me to see here. you do want to use your real, thank you. You do want to use your real name and a handle that's aligned with your personal brand. Again, you don't want someone to go to your Twitter profile and wonder if it's you. You want to be sure as well that you're using keywords across both platforms. They allow you to be searchable on both of those platforms. And finally, be you. As I keep saying, infuse your personality into these sites. Both Twitter and LinkedIn really offer us a fantastic storytelling opportunity, LinkedIn with its summary section and Twitter with its bio. You really have an opportunity to show who you are. I do want to mention, LinkedIn, it's professional, so your summary section should be filled with your passions, your emotional traits, and your accomplishments, strictly professional. However, on Twitter, you have a little bit more room to let some of the fun that's part of your personality and part of your personal brand show. For example, my Twitter bio says, woman of Microsoft, wino forever. Now, if you know me, you know that both of these are very important parts of my brand. My personal brand, that's not going on LinkedIn. All right, so next you need to build your network. So first, thoughtful connections. So on LinkedIn, you're probably already getting invitations to connect with others on a regular basis. And I get it can kind of be tempting to accept every invite that comes in. However, I strongly suggest quality over quantity when it comes into your LinkedIn network. Evaluate how people are going to add value to your network and how you'll add value to theirs. Twitter thoughtfulness is still key, but you may need to be a little bit more proactive about the way that you build your network. I recommend that you search keywords and hashtags for those words that are aligned with your personal brand in order to find other like-minded people to connect with. You want to be sure on both platforms that you are offering up your voice as a thought leader and a subject matter expert. So on LinkedIn, groups is a good way to do that. So groups are great places for you to A, connect with like-minded people, but B, share your subject matter expertise on topics that are interesting to you both. Now, Twitter is the same, but of course, it's not grouped by groups there. We organize conversations by hashtags. So I recommend searching hashtags, again, that are aligned to your personal brand, and then jumping into conversations, engaging with others, sharing your unique perspective. And finally, don't forget those in real life connections. Those connections can help us infuse the personal human element into our online social networks. So this means connecting with people that you already know that you work with. It means remember to follow and engage with people that you meet at events like the Women in Gaming Rally. Be sure that you are connecting with people and allowing those relationships to grow and develop even online after the event is over. Okay, so now you have optimized your profile, you've got a great network, now you can really use social to share your story. So when you're regularly sharing relevant, forward-thinking content, you really have a great opportunity to continue to develop your personal brand, showcase your thought leadership, and be recognized as that subject matter expert and badass that I know that you are. So I've given you some ideas of what to share today, but when you are sitting looking at Twitter or LinkedIn and you're looking at that blinking cursor and you're like, what do I share? I wish I were dead. I have no idea. Come back to this slide. These are some quick and easy ways for you to engage on social. First, peek behind the curtains. I've noticed that the posts that I share on social where I show a photo of myself and my team and something that's happening at work along with hashtag Microsoft Life, those are the posts that always get the best engagement. People are always excited to get a little peek behind the curtains. Same goes for company culture posts. If your company is an important part of your personal brand, as it is for me, I know it is for many of us, showcase the things that your company is doing that you're proud of and that you want to share with others. Industry stories. Storytelling does not always need to be your story. You can share with others in order to boost your subject matter expertise and to continue aligning yourself with particular topics. Your network is made up of highly knowledgeable folks, right? Think of them as your personal hive mind. If you have questions to be answered, or you're going through a challenge at work, or you're really just looking for feedback, why not pose it to your networks? You may get valuable insight, but you also could be helping out other members of your own community because they could have the same questions too. Events highlights. just as we talked about at the top of this talk, accomplishments also include event attendance. Be sure that you're showcasing your alignment with particular events by sharing photos and nuggets of inspiration with your communities. And just as your communities are made up of experts, you have so much valuable expertise to share too. Are there any kind of nuggets of career advice or insight you could share? Anything that will be helpful to your audience? And finally, I'm going to group the last three together: amplification, recognition, and gratitude. This, again, is the human element that we keep talking about, what you can infuse into your online communities. We do nice things for others in real life. Let's make sure that we do them online as well. And finally, if you are a storyteller that likes to write, bonus points for writing a LinkedIn article and taking your demonstration of thought leadership one step further. Okay. So that was a lot of information. You might be overwhelmed. I know I am a little overwhelmed. But if there's one thing that I want you to take away from today, it's to remember to always be unapologetically you. Consider what diverse ideas and perspectives you have that you bring to the table. What unique ways are you looking at things and solving problems and sharing out that you can add to your stories, right? How are you changing the way that other people feel? This is how you become recognized as a thought leader. This is how you become seen as an expert in your field. This is how you're asked to speak on panels. This is how you are showcasing your thought leadership through storytelling and reaching your goals. Your story matters. Your story matters. And your story matters. And your story matters. You are the hero of your own story. You are taking risks and slaying dragons. You're blazing trails and pushing boundaries. You are living lives that are both inspired and inspiring. You're the hero of your own story. Now, go and share those stories and inspire others to be heroes too. Thank you. I like it. Thank you, everyone. Now I want to turn it over to my friend and colleague, Jean Raymond from Ubisoft, who's going to talk to us about bringing those stories to life in person. Thank you. You probably want that.
All right, show of hands. How many of you find the, thank you already for participating. How many of you find it intimidating to introduce yourself to someone new? The idea of networking a little terrifying? Feels a little like torture? Yes? Can relate to this? If you notice, my hand's up too. For the people at that table who know me, my little fan club, thank you. I'm actually an introvert, and a lot of people have a hard time believing that. So networking is also intimidating for me, but I also find it very exciting. And it kind of reminds me of like when I was a kid on Christmas morning and I'd run down the hall and I'd get to the Christmas tree and there would just be presents, right? When I walk into a networking event and I see a room full of people like this, this sounds totally hokey, but it's like I see a room full of presents because it's like here's potential gifts to me. And it's exciting to take the time to open each one up and to find out what's inside, right? So today I want to talk to you about the importance of networking because it's so incredibly important to your personal and professional career and your professional success. I'll talk about first, we'll back up, we'll talk about what is a network, why is building a network important, and how to do it. So let's start from the beginning. What is a network? A network is a set of relationships that help give you the ability to get things done or to get ahead. It's this important group and valuable group of resources and allies that give you information, access to support, and also influence. There's three different types of networks. Career network, I'll start with the social networks. Those are kind of your friends. Right? Maybe some of your Facebook friends, people you might have something in common with or similar backgrounds. You give each other kind of guidance and peer-to-peer coaching. Task networks are groups who exchange job-related resources. So when I started back in Ubisoft 10 years ago, I was in licensing and consumer products. And I would get so many packages in the mail, and I'd be sending out so many packages. So I needed to make sure I was best friends with that person in the mailroom, because otherwise they were not going to like me very much. So what could I give to them in exchange? Well, I was getting a lot of swag, right? T-shirts, action figures, that kind of thing. Things that they don't typically have access to. So there's a mutual benefit for both of us, right? So figure out what that mutual benefit is. And the career networks, these are your professional mentors. They can give you career guidance. They can give you access to executives, can help you potentially get promotions or help you find new jobs. Structure of a network is essentially the pattern of relationships among contacts. They tend to flow, all connections tend to flow through one central person that, the pink person in the middle is essentially the nucleus, right? You've probably heard that 6 degrees of separation, or 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon. That's Kevin Bacon in the middle there, right? Everything tends to flow through one person. Those network nuclei are the best people to network with because they know a whole group of people that you could have access to, right? So those are key people to meet. Breadth and depth refers to the number of people in your network and also the diversity, right? So if you're an audio engineer, you don't want to only talk to other audio engineers, right? That's not going to be super beneficial for you, might help somewhat, but you want to really increase that depth, that diversity of people in your network. And then there's this dependency among those people within the network to give each other guidance, right, and information and resources. It's this ongoing exchange of support. And there's, when you have that ongoing exchange of support, there's benefits, clearly, from that cooperation among contacts within a network. So your employers know that when you and your super friends get together, you're going to be able to achieve positive outcomes. So employers know that the stronger your network, the higher your perceived social capital. And social capital is what makes people realize that you are more resourceful, more effective, and more productive. So you're starting to see now why building a strong network is important to your career, right? I just read this article online that said, first of all, interpersonal connectivity is twice as important as IQ or job expertise and professional success. Twice as important. Right? It's all about building those relationships. And then they also said that attending networking events, and particularly women who attend and network at women's events like this, within 1 year of attending that event, they were twice as likely to get promoted and three times as likely to get a raise of 10% or more. That's huge! Right? You should not only need to network, but you should want to network too. This is awesome, right? But it's work. Networking is definitely work. I'm not going to lie to you. Do you think she woke up having that gorgeous athletic body? No way. Nor are you going to wake up with this awesomely built network. It takes time. You have to work out at it. You have to practice at it. You have to take every opportunity you can to build and maintain and grow that network. And it's very cliche, but it's totally applies to networking, is the more you put in, definitely the more you get out. All right, so you're probably saying, okay, Gene, I get it, I'm in, it's important, I get it. Well, how do I do it? Well, I'm so glad you asked. So I have 8 steps. You don't need 10, 8's sufficient, about how to build and maintain a strong, effective network. So first of all, you have to prepare, right? Before you get out on that spotlight, before you get on that stage, you need to get yourself ready. So Emily has just given you amazing guidance on how to build your personal narrative. Have it ready. Make sure you're ready to tell people who you are in those different elevator pitches that she described, right? The different flavors, the 15-second version, the 30-second version. And you gotta make an effort, right? You can't just go, oh, I ain't networking. I know I'm supposed to do it, but I'm tired. I don't want to go. You can't do that, right? You can't be comfortable. You can't sit on your couch, watch your TV. That's not how your network's going to grow. So you got to make an effort. Set a goal. Set a networking goal and seek out a networking opportunity to help you achieve that goal. So if you want to meet other women in gaming, there's an event for that. If you want to meet other people in the game industry in general, there's an event for that. If you want to meet people under 30, there's an event for that. So seek out those opportunities to help you achieve that networking goal. And be brave. Be brave enough to be yourself. Emily was talking about that villain. There's a psychologist who wrote a book called The Bitch in Your Head. Y'all have the bitch in your head. You're all laughing because she's all in there, right? It's the one that says, I don't know why you're going to this. Nobody wants to talk to you. You're not smart enough to be there. You're an imposter. Probably going to say something stupid anyway. So the psychologist says you should never say something to yourself that you wouldn't say to a dear friend or a child. Right? You're stupid. You're going to say something dumb. Nobody wants to talk to you. You wouldn't say that to a kid, so don't say it to yourself. It's mean. Right? All right. So now you've agreed to make an effort. You've gotten off the couch. You've got your personal narrative ready to go. And you're going to get out there. Have an icebreaker ready. And what you can do is build on something you already have in common. You're both there, right? You're both there. Build on that, right? What do you do in the game industry? If you're at a party, how do you know Jane and John Doe? Ask open-ended questions to get people talking. So if you say, so do you work in the game industry? You might get a, yep. Well, that went well. How did you get in the game industry? What advice do you have for me to get in the game industry? What's the favorite part of your job? Ask open-ended questions, right? If you're nervous about networking, go with a buddy, right? Buddy system, safety in numbers. Bring a buddy. If you probably all have that one friend that just marches up to anybody and introduces herself, right? Fearless, bring her. Why not? Or bring him. But don't let them monopolize the conversation, right? Make sure you step back in and take it over. Another tip, if you walk into a room of people and you're not seeing the presence, but you're just like, oh, this is a little overwhelming, go get in a line. Get in a line, coat check, line for a drink, line for food, because you only have to talk to two people, the person in front of you and the person behind you. Right? And you only have to talk to them for a limited time. You get to the front of the line, you don't have to talk to them anymore if you don't want to. Right? It's a great way to warm up. And speak positively. Right? Oh, I'll get back there. I'm skipping ahead. Let's get them talking. Right? We talked about asking them open questions. People love to talk about themselves. They say that when people talk about themselves, the same part of the brain gets stimulated as food and money. It's a very powerful thing. It's crazy. Get them to talk about themselves. Also, get them to give you advice. People love to give advice, too. So get them talking. And speak positively. You don't want to be that person where you go to the event and you're like, oh, my God, this food sucks. And did you see how many people are here? This is crazy. This is so crowded. And it's raining outside. Do you guys notice the rain? It's not supposed to rain in San Francisco. This sucks. It's like, do you want to talk to that person all night? Probably not. So don't be that person. And gossip positively. Our brains do weird little things to us. So a listener will associate you with the characteristics that you describe about other people. So if I'm talking to somebody, I say, oh, you know Emily DeAndre also? Oh my gosh, she's so fantastic. She's so sharp and so smart. That person's going to walk away and go, oh, that Jean Raymond, she was really fantastic. What a sharp, smart woman. So what if I said something not so nice? Right? Kind of like what Emmy said. Think about what you want to be remembered for. You don't want to be remembered for talking negatively about somebody. Be genuine. This is so important to being trustworthy and authentic. when you meet somebody for the first time, then one of the first things you do is figure out if you can trust them, right? So if you say to somebody, oh, yeah, you like football too? Oh, yeah, me too. I saw that game with, like, that guy, and he kicked the ball, you know, through the that was awesome. Yeah, I like football. They're going to see right through you, right? And if somebody can't trust you, then you're not going to be building a stable, strong relationship with them, right? So be genuine. Also, like Emily said, be unapologetically you, right? And don't be afraid to be vulnerable. We love when other people are vulnerable, but we fear it in ourselves. I am horrible at remembering names, horrible. And I had met somebody, and I just said, you know, I'm really sorry. I'm horrible with names. I remember we met last year at GDC. It was at the hotel. It was at the W, in the lobby. I remember you were at Activision. You're in marketing. But I'm really sorry. I can't remember your name. I'm Jean. And you know what? They don't care. And I tell them my name because they can't probably remember names either, right? So it's okay. It's okay to make yourself vulnerable. Listen. Listen, listen, listen. You've gotten them talking, right? You're getting great advice from them. Listen to what they have to say and find a common bond. Maybe you both have kids. Maybe you both love cats. Maybe you have a favorite, you know, you're both 49ers fans. Whatever it is, find that common bond. My niece, when she was 9 years old, went to a women's conference with my sister and started talking to this one woman, and they were chatting and chatting, who turned out to be the U.S. ambassador to Libya at the time. And you wonder, what the heck does a 9-year-old and the U.S. ambassador to Libya have in common? Well, they had both vacationed in Costa Rica. And they were BFFs by the time they left that place. They were just chatting it up about Costa Rica. So find that common bond, whatever it is that you might have with your new connection. And remember a unique identifier about them. Remember what their dog's name is, what their kid's name is, what their favorite food is if it comes up. And use those two things, that common bond and that unique identifier, to reconnect with somebody. Oh, Emily, I remember you said you love cooking and you love Italian food. I just heard about this great new Italian cookbook. It made me think of you. I hope you're doing well. Right? Easy. And then when you get that email, you're like, holy cow, she remembered all that about me. That's really cool. Make somebody feel special. And there's nothing wrong with making somebody feel special, right? And enjoy it. Enjoy getting to know somebody and figuring out who they are. Be curious. Ask them questions. Have fun with it. All right. So now you've gotten them talking. Now you've been listening to them. And hopefully now you're recognizing the specific value in your new contact. And you're identifying which specific tasks that they can help you with in your job and how you can help them, right? What's that mutual benefit? And don't dismiss people you see as potential adversaries. View them as potential allies. So when I was at licensing show 8 years ago in London, and Ubisoft was the only video game company that had a booth there. And this guy walked into the booth, and he had a BioWare shirt on. And BioWare had just been purchased by EA. Now, when you have a competitor in your booth, you get a little guarded, right? A little standoffish. But I was so genuinely excited to see somebody else from the game industry in our booth, I went up and marched up to him and introduced myself, and we started chatting. And then later on that night, we bumped into he and his team, and we were staying in the same hotel as me and my team, so they invited us to have a drink together, and we ended up chatting some more. To this day, he is one of my very dearest friends and one of my favorite people on the planet. So how terrible would it have been if I just dismissed him as competition, don't talk to them, right? You miss out on that gift. And also don't dismiss people because you never know who they know, right? You never know who they know. There's gifts inside of gifts here, right? That you might have access to. All right, you've had an amazing conversation. Now you're ready to kind of wrap things up. This is the biggest question I get. How do you end a conversation? We're so bad at breaking up with people, aren't we? We just, like, don't know how to do it. You don't want to say what most people say, I need to use the restroom. Because when you come out, they might be waiting for you. And that's really awkward. So instead, you can say, I'm sure there are other people you want to meet here tonight. It was really nice talking to you. Do you have a card? Or, I promised myself that I would circulate tonight. Enjoy the rest of your evening. or there's somebody I need to speak to before they leave tonight. Do you have a card? Right? A lot better than, I need to use the restroom. So make sure you exchange info. Make sure you exchange the business cards. And identify the follow-up item, right? So if you say, I'm going to send you that article that we talked about, or I'll send you my resume, make sure you do it. Because following up is the most important part of networking. You might know somebody who says, oh, I can talk to anybody in a room. Well, that's great. As an introvert, I admire that. Cool. But the most important thing about networking is what you do after you meet someone. You need to follow up. You need to deliver on those promises. Send that article, send that resume, whatever it was. And you're going to need to organize and prioritize your contacts. It would be amazing if we all had time in the world to keep in touch with every single person we ever met. It's not realistic. So you're going to have to organize and prioritize and do it in a system that works for you. So maybe you get all the business cards that you acquired at GDC 2018. You put those together. Maybe you put together all your potential job leads. Whatever it is, use a system that works for you. Maybe you take the business cards and write down things on them. Oh, that's such an important thing I forgot to mention. People say to me, how do you remember all this stuff about people? I'm in my 40s. I don't remember squat. Write it down, right? Whatever works for you, write it down immediately. They give you a business card. You can write on it, right? Write stuff down. So if you want to use an organization prioritization, making notes on the business cards, that's great. Whatever works for you. And give people a reason to interact, right? So when you're following up, you should also immediately reach out to them on LinkedIn and Twitter, kind of like what Emily was talking about. It's a great way to keep in touch with somebody. And I love LinkedIn because they give you reasons to interact with people. Today is Shannon's birthday. Today is Sonia's work anniversary. Your connection, Dan Hay, was in the news. Then I can go, hey, Dan, I read that interview. That was really cool. Hope you're doing well. Right? Give somebody a reason to interact with you. And as Emily said, if you start posting, that gives people a reason to interact back. Right? Saw your article. That was really interesting. All right. Number 8. This is kind of my network warning road sign. Reciprocate. Networking is a two-way street. It's really an ongoing exchange of favors, not a, I'm going to tap you for information all the time and I'm not going to tell you anything in return. It's not how it works. You're going to lose your contacts if you do that. You can't over-tap your network. If someone is over-tapping you, you need to be honest and straightforward with them. I've helped you as much as I can, or I've helped you as much as my time allows for. It's actually in your best interest to reach out to other people and get their advice too. And connect others within your network, right? But only if there's a mutual benefit for both. All right. Got it? Took good notes? We'll wrap it up. We'll kind of recover or go through everything that we went through today. Networking is so important for your job. I can't emphasize it enough. I want you to go out there. I want you to make an effort. I want you to be brave enough to be yourself. I want you to get people talking and listen to what they have to say. Find that common bond. Remember that unique identifier. Use it to follow up. Maintain, build, prioritize. And have fun, right? Have fun doing it. Excited? I'm super excited. Hopefully you're not feeling like our little skeleton friend on the rack anymore, right? Feeling a little more confident like the badasses that you are. Good. Emily and I really wanted to stress today how important both personal branding and networking is, because it's so critical and so essential to your personal and professional growth. You are all fantastic, smart, amazing, interesting people. People want to talk to you, right? So get out there, and like Emily said, your story matters. So why are you still sitting down? Thank you.